Great morning, everyone, and welcome to yet another episode of Thank God for Monday. I'm Brother Greg Cellini of the Franciscan Brothers of Brooklyn in the Office of Mission, Ministry, and Interfaith Dialogue at St. Francis College in beautiful Brooklyn, New York. My great pleasure to be back again with you today. The purpose of our show, Thank God for Monday, is to inspire you, our audience, to take personal responsibility for your professional satisfaction. We want to provide you hope, healing, and peace in these unprecedented, turbulent, uncertain times, to motivate you to search deep inside yourself in the quest for fulfillment. Listeners, it's really up to you as how to utilize the information we provide today, take full accountability for the decisions you make and the resulting outcomes. Now, one of the goals of our show, Thank God for Monday, is to introduce role models. Role models of people who take very bold steps in their work lives. This is a very unique time in our workplace and world when being all in has never been more important. And as such, we are honored today to have with us a very, very special guest. Her name is Lisa Danels. Founder and executive of Human Edge, Lisa is a senior executive, talent, and leadership consultant. She is a certified executive coach and a pioneer in the field of leadership and organizational development. Lisa focuses on developing mindful and purpose-driven leaders, unlocking their full leadership potential. She is also a great writer. She's authored the timely book entitled The Human Edge, Mastering the Art of Being All In. Great morning and welcome to Thank God for Monday, Lisa.
Good morning, Greg. Thank you for such a warm welcome.
The honor is all
mine. I feel sunshine just coming over the radio waves.
That's very, very kind of you. Kindly share with the listeners and me from where you're speaking today, please.
So I am from Basel. I'm living in Basel, Switzerland. I'm originally from Hauppauge, New York, and lived in Manhattan for many years. But about 10 years ago, I moved over to Switzerland for a job. And then I met the love of my life and have stayed. So it's a nice story.
Oh, what a beautiful, beautiful story. And this is special for me. As the listeners know, I worked for Roche for 29 years, parented there in beautiful Basel, Switzerland. So thanks for getting up and being with us today, certainly. Lisa, sadly, we've only got 30 minutes. We're going to jump right in the deep end of the
Perfect.
Pool, certainly. This is such a need today for more humanistic leadership. Why is there this great need? Help us out, please.
Yeah, so the reason the need and the reason I wrote the book is there's a couple really big things happening. One is we can't keep up with all the information that's coming at us anymore. We process about 74 gigabytes of information per day, which equals to about 16 full-length movies. So yeah, it's startling.
Oh. Right?
So the amount of information is coming at us is overwhelming. And we're feeling overwhelmed. We're feeling the world is moving faster than we can actually keep up. And because of that, we need a new way of leading. But there's a second thing that's happening in addition, is that organizations used to have very matrixed organizations, right? So information between functions and information had to run up and down the organization. And now the environments are moving so fast outside that organizations can't be agile anymore. So they're moving to networked organizations. And a good example is actually Roche, who has moved their whole organization to network. And because of that, the leader's role has changed. So what is my role? Am I a leader? If I don't tell people what to do, then what do I do? So there's this little bit of a quandary about my role as a leader has dramatically changed. The next thing, the third thing that's hitting people is this notion of the heart. Empathy is the new currency. People want leaders that care, and not just care about them as individuals, but care about society and the work that's being put out there. So the younger generations, they're not just about money. There's this shift between our generation has been more about achievement and accumulating, and the new generation is about purpose and co-creating. So the leaders of tomorrow and today have to learn to step into that space. Otherwise, they're not going to be able to lead this generation.
We're going to peel the onion on these a little bit later, certainly. But wow, what a start to our discussion today. Now, one of the things that you talk about is this concept of human connection and how important this is in the area of remote work and expanding technology. Share with us, please, how can leaders really promote this human connection in this era of remote work, expanding technology?
Yeah, I think there are a couple of things around this human connection. I think one is, in order for me to connect to you, I need to be connected with myself, right? And right now we have a massive pandemic going on, and it's a loneliness epidemic. About one third of the population around the world is feeling lonely and disconnected. And it's sad.
No.
And it's sad. And this COVID has not helped. Our obsession with technology has not helped. Like, so I was just watching a YouTube or a TikTok or one of those, or Instagram. And one of the things that was really surprising, they talked about a mother-daughter relationship. And they said, if a mother leaves a text message for the daughter, right? Yes, they're connecting. But if a mother leaves a voicemail message for the daughter, then the daughter has greater connection, less anxiety, and can function better. So we really need, where our DNA is built for human connection. So we need to understand where we're paying what I call a disconnection tax, because we disconnect from ourselves when we don't want to feel our emotions or experience what's going on in the world. Because as you said in the beginning, in the introduction, may you live in interesting times, right? We're living in really challenging times right now, where we're being asked to go inside to reconnect with ourselves. We can also disconnect from other people, and then we can disconnect from society at large. So when we have this, we pay a huge disconnection tax. So if you're asking leaders what they need to do, the first is they need to connect to themselves. Because if you can't connect to yourself and the emotions you have and the feelings, how can you be authentic with anybody else? It just doesn't work. So part of that role is as leaders, we need to leave time for connecting with people. Even over virtual, you can still take 2 or 3 minutes and say, what's going on? How are you feeling? How's your day going? You know, before you jump into, okay, what's happening?
Wow.
Because we're very, it's very easy to. And I talk about there's like four pillars of connection that's really important for leaders and for all of us, really. The first one is what I call respect. We need to hold people in high esteem. We need to see the gifts that they have, not the gifts we have, but the gifts that they bring forward so we can leverage them. And when we do, and when leaders do this, they create inclusion safety. That's an important element. And then the next thing is leaders need to have integrity, because leaders need to say the truth in a way that doesn't shatter somebody. They need to be honest, because then when we share our truth, then we can have different perspectives come to the table. We can help people develop more effectively. These are really important key elements. So, you know, I can tell you, and this is called challenger safety. So I remember a time in my own career where I was very lucky, where I had a leader pulled me aside and said, Lisa, you're great at strategy, you know, you're great at execution, but you're not really valuing other people for the different gifts. You only work well with people that have the gifts that you have. And I sat there and the tears were running down my face.
Oh, wow.
Right? Because I realized in that moment, my intention and impact was not the same. And he had the integrity to pull me aside in the most heartfelt way and say, Lisa, you're not having the impact you want, and you're actually hurting people.
Oh my goodness, what valuable feedback that was.
It was amazing. So when we're in our integrity, we can deliver feedback like that. He didn't have to give me that feedback. He wasn't my manager, but he really felt that it was important for me to get that message. And I am forever grateful for Stuart for giving me that feedback. The next one that's really important for leaders is vulnerability. So there's this shift for leaders where we used to know everything because we came up through the ranks. But with 74 gigabytes of information coming at me, I can't know anything anymore. I can't know everything. I can know some things. So I have to rely on my experts. And I have to say, if I want people on my team to grow, I need to say, I don't know. But there's a second part to that. It's not just, I don't know. It's, I don't know. And let's find out. And that find out is, let's find out together. Right.
Wow.
So it gives space for all of us to really connect on a meaningful way. It gives both people purpose, and the leader is not sitting there like, I know best and I'm telling you what to do. Right. So we need that space to help people, for us to grow as leaders, and for our direct reports. And then that's the learner safety. And then the last one is the sense of empathy, which is the contributor safety. And this is where I need to show and care for people, understand their needs, understand my needs. And then this allows me to listen deeply to what people are saying, and to listen what's below the surface. Because how many people do you know go, here are my fears, I'm going to serve them up to you? We're taught to put our best foot forward. We're not taught to hang our dirty laundry out for everyone to see.
Wow. This is
so,
amazing.
So for me, those are the four pillars of authentic connection, but it requires us to do a little bit work, and it requires us to be fully present with people. And we really have difficulty. So if you want to have fun today, for the folks listening, right, as you're on your way to work or as you're ready to start your day, I want you to, the next person you see, whether it's the bus driver or the person in the canteen, I want you to really see them. Say hello to them, smile, and watch how they light up. So if you as a leader can help as many people as you can light up, you are doing your job in society and making the world a better place, because people just want to be seen. They want to be heard. They want to be valued. Everyone doesn't have to be a rocket scientist, but they want to be valued as a human being.
This is also Franciscan and makes all perfect sense. Respect, integrity, vulnerability, empathy. And it's interesting, if you don't mind me asking, because one of the things that I've observed over the years working in higher education is that many times college graduates today, they know accounting and biology, they know the subject matter, but their self-awareness is lacking. Have you found
it's not just college students. It's not just college students. So let me clarify a myth here, because this is really important, because this is the pathway to self-development and growth, right? You talked in the beginning about taking accountability, right?
Sure.
And part of that accountability is really growing your self-awareness. So Tasha Urich, who wrote a book called Insights, which I highly recommend, pretty much studied self. That's all she does, is study self-awareness. And only 10 to 15% of the population has self-awareness. It's really low, right? Because we talk about two things. We talk about, one is, do we understand our strengths, our areas of development, and kind of our personal, what's going on inside of us? And then the other thing is, do we understand our impact on others? Are we aware of that? And sometimes we're not. Sometimes we think we're, you know, because we're coming out of our old coping mechanisms from childhood. And sometimes we think we're having a positive impact, but we're not. We're actually, like what I was doing when I was working at MetLife, I was having a negative impact on people, you know, until Stuart helped me with a little bit more self-awareness. And then I was able to grow and develop. And then in my next performance review, I was like the highest collaborator ever.
How brilliant.
So self-awareness to me is absolutely the cornerstone for personal growth.
Thank you for sharing that, Charlie. Now, one of the things that really, really drew me to you was this book, Naturally, The Human Edge Advantage, Mastering the Art of Being All In. Now, I don't know about you, but to me and to maybe some others, all in could mean different things to different people. What do you mean by this all in? And is this maybe not a directive that can lead some to burnout? Share with us, please, Lisa.
Yeah, you ask such a great question. So for me, it's heart, mind, and soul. Like, I am fully committed. I am in because I care so much. And in order for me to be all in, there's a couple things that need to happen. One is, I need to be connected to myself. Because if I'm not connected to myself and I don't know what I need or what I want or what fulfills me, I can't be all in, nor can I really show up with my heart, right? I might show up to get a paycheck, but I'm not going to show up with my heart. I dedicate a whole chapter in the book to, it takes courage to be yourself, right? And it takes courage to stand up, right? And even if it means facing rejection from other people, you're true to yourself. Right. So that's the first aspect, the first pillar. The second one is what we've already started talking about is this notion of connecting, authentic connection with other people. How do we build trust? Because if we're not doing this together, right, we're meant to belong. We have a need to belong. We have a need to connect, you know, and if we're doing this and doing something that we all enjoy doing, then energy just starts to build. And then the third one is really about how do you co-create possibilities? Right. So this means I'm not just coming with my solution and I'm not just coming with a piece of the puzzle, but it's like if you've ever seen an improv show, we're building on the energy. So we're creating something that neither one of us could have built on our own. So we call this don't bring a cathedral, bring a brick.
Oh,
right. Very important because
brilliant. Yeah.
If I bring a cathedral, what can you change? Maybe the color of the windows, right? And I can't help you create something. I'm only observing it or looking at it like a tourist. But if I'm helping you from a place of purpose and meaning, and we're building something together, then magic starts to happen, right? Wow. And you asked about how do we do it without burnout? Well, we do it without burnout by making sure that we're self-aware of our own limitations, because we need to be aware of our limitations and our barriers. And I can say, this is the first time in my life I crossed that barrier when I wrote the book last year, because I never in my life had crossed that barrier. I always, like, for me, I get my 7 hours sleep, I eat, I walk, I exercise, right? So last year with writing the book, I spent every Sunday, right? And plus I carried a full load at work. So something,
whoa.
Yeah, something had to give. And what gave was I didn't get sick. So thank God for that. But by the end of December, I was exhausted.
Right?
So we have to know our limitations. And also what happened
right.
for me on a personal level is it had an impact on my relationship with my husband, because I didn't nurture that relationship. I was nurturing the book, but I wasn't nurturing that relationship.
Wow.
And I had to take a step back and say, what's going on here? Why are some of these dynamics getting a little funky? So we do need this self-awareness to say, we need to know where our line is. How do we push ourselves? So, you know, where's the line? And I think the third element, which I think is really, really critical, is the world is moving really fast around us.
Yes.
And in order for the world, and we have been taught through our educational system to use our left brain. And the left brain is a wonderful, wonderful thing. And don't get me wrong when I say that, because I dedicate a whole chapter to the mind and I love the mind, right? Because it can help take our dreams and bring them into reality. But the mind, the left side of the brain, can only process 40 pieces of information per second, right?
Oh,
the right side of the brain can process 11 million pieces of information per second, which gives rise to our intuition. So if we're trying to work in a world and live in a world that's moving faster, we're going to have to come with a whole brain. We have to strengthen that muscle of our intuition and listen to the whisper, if you want to say the whisper of spirit, of God, whatever word you want to use that's comfortable for you. I say universal intelligence because it seems like that's more acceptable across. But
sure.
This is a really important thing, because inside of us, right? And you talked about all in. When I talk about all in and connection, I'm just not talking about connection of human beings. I'm talking about the universe is fully connected. And if we want to tap into this, right, we can tap in a moment's notice and have access to every intelligence that's in the universe. And we have intelligence to that God consciousness, but we have to be willing to know we're a co-creator with the universe. And when you understand that, your whole world changes, because there's no excuses, right? It goes back to what you said about accountability. One of the greatest lessons I learned in my life, right? And I call it like being a spiritual warrior, is this notion of there are no victims. In order, when you shift to personal, like you create, you're a creator and you have personal agency, it means you shape and you develop your life. Does it mean you do it on your own? No, you're doing it in co-creation. You're co-creating with the universe, right? So
wow.
If I say, so here's a good example, right? I create something and I love it and I go, oh, I'm so proud. Look what I did. Right? We love that. We love owning our good stuff. But when it happens, right? When the stuff that we don't like happens, then what we do is we say, oh, it was somebody else. right? That's not us, right? And then what we do is we actually diminish ourselves because we give up our co-creative power versus, okay, I didn't really like my creation. So let me take a step back and look at maybe where did I make the wrong turn and how can I learn from it? And this is the highest level of this real accountability that takes place because you create everything, my friends, all of it, the good, wow, the bad, the ugly. And if people can really understand that, their lives will dramatically change overnight.
Oh, this is so amazing, certainly. Now, it's very, very interesting. Maybe you've started to talk about this already, but maybe we could peel the onion a little bit more. I perceive that you believe the gut is very, very important, and it's a very high form of intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
Do I perceive correctly, Lisa? And if so, share a little bit more, please.
Yeah, so we have three, I call energies, functions, whichever works for you. But for me, the gut is the highest form of intelligence because you're tapping into the infinite intelligence. So when I did the research for the book, I saw with the gut, there were three patterns that happen with the gut. The first one is really about all the information. We all have photographic memories. It's just our retrieval system that has problems. But all of us, anything you've ever been exposed to in your life, if you were put under hypnosis, you would remember it, right? So anything you've ever been exposed to from the moment you were a child to the moment to right now is being held in that subconscious.
Wow.
And you have access to it so that your brain is constantly making connections, making connections, making connections that you're not even aware of. So that's this thing we can tap into. So I'll give you a real personal example. So
please.
One time when I was working at Pfizer and I had to work with a very difficult team. So I did the team diagnostic and I sat in my office and I was literally depressed because I looked down and I thought, I don't know how to help this team. And
Oh,
I really,
wow.
I didn't know where to draw to in that moment. Right. So of course, what I do is I go for a walk. So I went for a walk and I came back. And when I sat down in my chair, my intuition said, go look at the book, Five Dysfunctions of a Team by Patrick Lencioni. And sure enough, the answer to what I was looking for was in there. And I hadn't even read the full book. I had just been exposed to it on a superficial level. But exactly what I was looking for was in that book. And then I was able to help the team. So that's one aspect. This, everything we've already ever been exposed to, we have access to. Whether it's TV, movies, anything you've ever seen in your life or studied. The second one is the sense of, we call it like the spidey thing, which is we have this weird sense when something is wrong, right? So think about 9/11. People didn't get on planes. People didn't come to work that day, right? I mean, we have this sense, right? We have this sense of dread. I even heard just recently someone who was an Israeli, their girlfriend wanted them to go to the South and they went, I really don't want to go for the weekend. And sure enough, they were one of the people who have been taken hostage in Gaza. So, yeah, so we do have this sense, right? The third aspect is the infinite intelligence. We have the ability of downloading anything from the universe that we want. We just need to be able to ask the right questions. So by asking open-ended questions, information comes to us, whether it's through another person, whether it's through we pick up a book, it just automatically will start to come to us because we've put it out to the universe that it's something we're interested in.
This is so funny you mentioned that because in my work at St. Francis College, I try my best to ask open-ended questions versus a question that'll just get a yes or a no answer.
Yes.
And it's amazing the responses I hear when you
Absolutely.
Give someone an opportunity to share their voice, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
This is
so that's why it's your highest form of intelligence, because the mind only knows what it already studied, right? And what it's applied, right? It doesn't know that. The heart is wonderful because it's our spiritual blueprint. We're blueprinted with what our purpose is and what we're meant to do in this lifetime and our ability to, and the capacity to be in unity and connect with people. And then obviously the last one is this amazing skill that we have, which is the intuition, which we all have. All of us have been given that gift. Do we use it or not? That's a different story.
Sure. Really, really.
A lot of us ignore our intuition.
Oh, that's too bad. No question about
it. I completely agree with you.
Lisa, we could talk all day. Sadly, we've only got about 5 minutes. I've got important questions still to ask you. Trust today can really be a game changer, because if we give people honest feedback, like you receive that honest feedback, What advice do you have for leaders to really maintain and repair trust on all levels? Interpersonal trust, team trust, enterprise trust, organization trust. We need your help here, Lisa.
And so trust was probably the part of the book that I had the most insights when I was writing the book, because what I discovered is trust happens in the first 18 months of life. So a lot of our foundation comes from 18 months. Yeah. And a lot of us don't have what we call healthy attachment. So because of that, about 50% of the population does not have healthy attachment. So I think one of the things where we can become a little bit more compassionate with other people is when we see them acting in ways that seem a bit odd to us, that might hinder or break trust. How do we reach out to them and say, what's really going on? Right? Because it's very easy to judge them because we're like, we don't like it. I'm not getting my needs met. So I think one of the key things is start to be more conscious of your own. How do you trust? Do you offer trust? Do you give trust? Do you hold trust back? I think that's one thing. The other thing for me is this notion of repair and trust in organizations. If you and I are living in the same household, right? If trust is not there, it gets very uncomfortable very quickly. Right? So we're willing to repair the trust, which then deepens the relationship.
Exactly.
In organizations, people just move around it. Because very few people go and repair trust and say, you know, look, you hurt me or I'm disappointed by what happened. We're unwilling to be vulnerable. And then we just work around it or we talk behind the other person's back, which then breaks trust even more. So we have to be willing to accept the fact that we're infallible. Other people are infallible. And we're all just trying to go on this human journey together. And when we can do that, then we're much more open to see trust in a new way. Because it is the glue that holds our societies together. And when it starts to erode and we start not to believe what people are saying or what governments are saying, then society starts to break down very quickly. And we have to be very careful, especially in this time frame, because you're starting to see trust erode. And we have to find a solution very quickly to this.
It's interesting. I was talking with one of our brothers not that long ago, and he's a baby boomer like myself, a few years older. And we were talking about how in the 60s and the 70s, there was trust in government, trust in church, trust in school. We trusted our institution.
Absolutely.
And it seems like that has broken down today. And those rocks of refuge that we used to lean on, unfortunately, are not so much there anymore. And that makes it a lot more difficult for
No,
people.
You're absolutely right. And the social media and these echo chambers are not helping, because one of the most important things that we need to do is we need to be able to have cognitive dissonance. We need to be able to hold two opposing ideas at the same time. So I would encourage your audience to go out and listen to stuff that you don't want to hear. Right? Listen to stuff that makes you uncomfortable. Listen to seek out stuff, because that's the only way you'll really get to empathy and compassion and understanding. And compassion is the only thing that's going to get us to the next phase in this world. It's the only thing. Compassion is really the key.
I couldn't agree with you more, Lisa. In these challenging, turbulent, they are exciting times, but they are indeed challenging.
Absolutely.
And very, very turbulent. We've saved the most important question for last, Lisa. From where can our loyal listeners purchase The Human Edge Advantage, Mastering the Art of Being All In? How can they best follow you, please?
Yes. Yeah, so if you want to buy the book, which I highly recommend, you can get it at Amazon.com. You can also find it on BarnesandNoble.com. You can also follow me. I'm on Instagram, Lisa Danels. And I also have a website, LisaDanels.com. And in addition to that, you can also visit our homepage, human-edge.com, and you'll find everything about our business. You'll find about the book and all the great materials we have that support the book.
Terrific. Listeners, no excuse. This book is available all over the place. We have a great Franciscan with us today. She could have held on to the good. She didn't have to sacrifice all those Sundays and write this great book. She did.
Thank you.
She shared her good. Now it's our turn. Buy one for yourself. This is a great gift. Share this with others. No question about that. April coming up, Stress Management Month. This will help in the easing of the stress, certainly. As Lisa said, getting to know yourself better, being more empathetic, being more compassionate. This is the kind of book that can transform the world. Please, please, please buy one for yourself. Share the good with others. By the way, I want to give you the spelling of Lisa's name, of course, L-I-S-A, but Danels, DANELS. Please, please buy this great book. Lisa Danels, we can't thank you enough for gracing our airwaves today, all the way from Basel, Switzerland. We've been enlightened. We've been very, very inspired as well. Continued success, joy, happiness, and amazing contribution literally around the world that you're giving us today and always throughout 2024 and beyond. It's been a pleasure and honor to have you on the show today.
Absolutely. Thank you, Greg. Thank you for this wonderful conversation.
Listeners, guess what? Once again, we're out of time. Greg saying our hope and prayer is that when you wake up on Monday morning, just like Lisa does, you'll say, thank God for Monday. Until next week's episode, have a great week, everyone. Bye-bye.